Well, Christmas season is over. Obviously, we're wearing the green. Yet, the liturgy continues to lead us deeper into reflection on the radicality of who Jesus really is. How amazing it is. And how essential it is that we understand who he truly is. Today, we encounter him as a fully mature adult through the eyes of John the Baptist, who reveals key aspects of his identity in this passage today. Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, John exclaims. Now, does this sound familiar to anybody? Probably, yes. You hear very similar words from the priest at every single Mass shortly before receiving Holy Communion. And the response is, Lord, I am not worthy, right? This indeed is the Lamb who eventually was slain to take away our sins and open up the possibility of heaven for us. That's a really big deal, right? John further describes Jesus as someone coming after me, but ranks ahead of me because he existed before me. Now, what is John talking about here? Is this just kind of riddles and rhymes? You know, how does Jesus exist before him? John knows that Jesus was born after him. He's referring here to Christ's divine nature, which is eternal. He probably didn't completely understand it, but through the Lord, he's speaking of Christ's divine nature. Yet, here Christ is in the flesh. Even though he existed before John, somehow he's here in the flesh. Then, John refers to Christ's anointing, when he saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and remain upon him. This is the one who will baptize not with water, but with the Holy Spirit. John says, he is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. So this is not just some amazing guy, a wonderful teacher, a moral hero, a miracle worker. He is all those things. But this is the God-man. The God-man. He's human and divine all at once. 100% human, 100% divine. This is the Messiah. This is the Savior of the whole world. The great prophet Isaiah beautifully points to this same God-man in today's first reading. You are my servant, through whom I show my glory. I will make you a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. This is the Lord speaking through the lips of Isaiah about his son that will come. This son has been formed from the womb, we heard, to bring Jacob, Israel, and all nations back to his father. And he's been a faithful and successful servant since he has made God the Father his strength. He's not relying on his own strength. He has made God the Father his strength. As a result, he is glorious in the sight of the Lord. Yes, he is indeed. And we think of the cross and then the resurrection that comes right after his death on the cross. He has indeed been made glorious in the sight of the Lord. And so now we're beginning to see not only the wonderful radicality of who Jesus is, but also of what he came to do. That's so crucial, what he came to do. The psalmist in today's responsorial marvelously prefigures this second aspect. And these are excerpts from Psalm 40 for those that want to go a little bit further. I have waited for the Lord, and he stooped toward me and heard my cry. And he put a new song into my mouth. Beautiful. So this prefigures Jesus. These words, the author of the book of the Hebrews, the letter to the Hebrews, puts on Jesus' lips. Notice that the Lord here is not demanding things from the Father, but reaching out and waiting for the Lord's will to be done. This is the radical new song that he sings out, that he lives out, which is so radically different from anything that has preceded. It's beautiful. Sacrifice or offering you wish not, the psalmist continues. Jesus, through the psalmist, we could say, continues. But ears open to obedience you gave me. Not sacrifices, but ears open to obedience you gave me. Holocausts or sin offerings you sought not. Then said I, behold, I come. Think of Jesus. Behold, I come. He's coming down to the earth. He's going to be our Savior. He now is our Savior. The Father doesn't want empty sacrifices that don't change our lives, that don't transform our hearts. Examples, back in the Jewish days, they would just bring these animals. They'd burn these animals. They'd make these sacrifices. They'd splash the blood. But they just paid somebody to do that. They just paid for the animals. It didn't bring them deeper into relationship with the Lord. That's what the Lord wants. That's why it's supposed to be a sacrifice, right? It's supposed to cost you something in a spiritual sense. And today we might think about, well, you know, how many of us just kind of mumble through the rosary? You know, we want to pray that rosary each day, and we just kind of mumble through it and it's not even really much of a prayer. The same kind of a thing. The Lord wants to draw us into relationship with Him through our prayer lives. In short, He wants us, and He wants all of us, every single one of us, to be in deep abiding relationship with Him. Back to the responsorial. In the written scroll it is prescribed for me to do your will. Oh my God is my delight, and your law is within my heart. That's really the clincher right there. Notice that the Lord is not begrudging, it's not a burden for Him to do the Father's will, but a delight to obediently do God's will. Then it finishes off, I announced your justice. Think of the cross. That's ultimate justice right there. I announced your justice in the vast assembly. I did not restrain my lips. This is excellent, excellent stuff. When we realize Jesus fulfilling these very words. How amazing. Even more amazingly though, Christ gives you and me a share in this life as well. What a privilege. What a blessing. I lost my spot here. There we go. But how do you respond? I asked the same question I did the vigil mass in the 8 a.m. last week. How do you respond? What is your deepest desire? Are you fully committed to the Lord's will, not your own? That's a crucial question. And it's a question we have to ask ourselves each day. There's many examples in today's world where we fall short. And I know you hit on some of these last week, so I won't belabor it too much. I know Father Matt touched on a couple of these, but probably the biggest issue today is abortion, right? And we talk about it a lot in January because of January 22nd. But abortion is often, pushed in today's culture as healthcare. They call it reproductive care, women's healthcare. But it's the exact opposite of healthcare. Healthcare is taking something that is unhealthy and restoring its health. This is the exact opposite of that. It's taking a life intentionally. That's not healthcare. We can put euphemisms and call it whatever we want, but that's not healthcare, brothers and sisters. And it's just unthinkable. I mean, how is it even possible that one person in this world thinks that abortion is okay? It's not okay. There's preachers, maybe there's even some Catholic priests that will get up in front of the people and say, oh yeah, God, Jesus, he condones this. It's merciful or whatever they say it is. No, there's no doubt about how Jesus feels about abortion. It's not okay. So what are you going to do about it? What am I going to do about it? Immigration is another issue today. And there's kind of two sides of it. You know, one, you know, we live in a pretty prosperous country. You know, we're kind of having some economic troubles now, but by and large, we're very prosperous. And so we have a moral obligation to welcome people that are fleeing from countries from warfare, and economic depravity, and persecutions, all kinds of things. But we can't welcome 7 billion people, right? We don't have the resources for that. And so we can't just have a wide open border like we basically have now in the southern United States. 2.5 million people came flooding in last year. We don't have the infrastructure to be able to handle that. And along with it, so there's human trafficking. These Mexican drug cartels are having a field day. There's terrorists, people on the FBI's list that are coming in. And there's all these drugs, fentanyl, all these overdoses. And so we have to find a way to help people out, but it doesn't mean that we just open ourselves up to to complete chaos. But we do have an obligation to reach out and to help those that are in need, no doubt. Our time, talent, and treasure. Are we really giving ourselves? Are we investing ourselves totally in the Lord? There's so much talent here in the room. No doubt about it. Are you using that talent to help out Jesus and his church? It doesn't just mean things that happen inside the walls of the church. It doesn't even necessarily mean things that that are directly associated with the church. There's many other ways. And then treasure as well. Are you giving your treasure? Are you giving till it hurts, so to speak, so that it is a true sacrifice? Another fun one here, I think you touched on last week, is contraception. And it's something that I think like 80 or 90% of Catholics think it's okay. And there's a lot of miscommunication that's been out there. But basically what's happening is you're saying, well, my plan is better than God's plan for my life and for our family life. That's essentially, that's probably not explicitly what people are thinking. Maybe in some cases, but that's basically what's going on here. It's couched as women's health care, but it's not. It's taking a healthy body and making it unhealthy. And so that's, the church says, wait a minute, you're taking God out of the equation. You're doing something with the body that it's not intended to do. What are we doing? And there's been such terrible consequences in our society. I can't trace them all back to contraception, but contraception is linked with abortion. Destruction of our families. I mean, just so much chaos. People aren't even getting married. And when they are, there are divorces and all kinds of things from a contraceptive mentality. But if we take a step back, it doesn't just have to do with sexual intercourse. It has to do with, well, maybe I'll just contracept God out of my life altogether, right? Or maybe I'll kind of pick and choose where I want God to be in my life. This kind of mentality really bubbles up to a higher level. And so that's why we see that as problematic. Another example here, what about, we have many politicians in our world today, and this isn't just today, I mean, this has been going on my whole life. Maybe it's a little more pronounced today, that just blatantly, like in your face, defy what Jesus has asked us to do, what he's commanded us to do in church teachings. Both sides of the aisle. I'm not picking on Democrats or Republicans. Washington, D.C. is full of them. Are we going to continue electing these people? Just hope for the best? Or are we going to say, wait a minute, you represent us. And we want something different. So again, these things we're talking about, what are you going to do about it? What am I going to do about it? What about the destructive garbage that's pushed many times in our schools nowadays with our little children? They're confusing them about their gender. I mean, there's all kinds of weird stuff that's going on. What are we going to do about it? We're just going to sit by and say, oh, what am I going to do? I got to send them somewhere, you know, hope for the best. No, there are things we can do. And what are we going to do? The Lord's calling us to do something. We could go on and on and on. There's many other issues. But the question, again, is how will you respond? I'm asking that question to myself. Will you listen to those with different perspectives? Or maybe just, nope, can't handle it. You're saying something different from me. Got to turn it off. And if you do listen, will you then share the truth with charity? That's what we're called to do, brothers and sisters. And it's not easy. It's not easy at all. But it's what we're called to do. Jesus himself took on the key issues of his time. He didn't back down. He went toe-to-toe with the Pharisees. I mean, he didn't back down from the issues, right? And in many cases, he doubled down. He didn't cower down and make things easy. He said, no, this is what the Lord expects. This is what God the Father expects. We got to toe the line. But I'm going to give myself entirely to give you all the grace that you need to be able to succeed. So yes, Jesus took on the key issues of his time. And all of his faithful followers throughout all the ages have done the same. Was this easy? No. It wasn't easy for Jesus. There's the cost right there. Was it comfortable? No. No way. But they did it out of love for God, trusting in his guidance and his will, that what he's asking them to do, what he's asking us to do, is the right thing to do and it's best for us. And the world has been transformed as a result. So, brothers and sisters, will you follow in their footsteps? Fully committed like the Baptist to making sure the Lamb of God is known to the whole world. Christ created every single one of you to be a light to the nations, glorious in his sight, joyfully walking in the freedom, the marvelous freedom of the children of God. He's counting on you and me to draw many others out of the darkness of our world into his loving arms. So, I leave you with a simple question. Will you obediently seek his will and let your light shine for all the world to see?